You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Good morning, listeners. This is a slightly different mood this morning. I haven't been here for quite some time, and I've been brought out of retirement for a very special guest today, who is a writer, a filmmaker, and is producing a play called The Return. But before we jump on to speak to Allah, I'd like to welcome all the listeners from Palestine, the occupied West Bank and Gaza, and to let you know that our thoughts are with you continuously, and we're all doing what we can to help you in any way we can. We know that things are very, very tough, and and also a shout out to all the activists that are continuing to do things. We're coming up to the third year of the massacre, but since, to be honest, it's been since 1948, and times that Israel needs to pay. And moving on to this play, it's really moving. I think I'm the only one that's seen it for a long time. I saw it a couple of years ago, and it really moved me deeply. To the point where, as I said, I've come out of retirement to come and speak to this guest. Now, do we have you there, Allah?
Yeah, I'm here.
Allah, how are you? Good morning.
Good morning, Robert. How are you?
I'm doing well. Have we woken you up?
No. I woke up early. So
okay, I thought you might. Now, this play, I know that you were going to make a movie. You went to the family, you were going to make a movie about it, and you decided to do a play.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about the play, not too much, because I obviously want people to come and become part of the journey with you. So don't give too much away. But a few things I do want to touch base on is words that, those that don't have a huge amount of knowledge on what's going on over there, like martyrdom, martyrs, why we call them martyrs, who we call martyrs, also the spirituality of it, and also where it is in religious terms as well.
Yeah. Sure, Robert. I'm just going to start with just giving your listeners a brief introduction about the play.
So the name of it is The Return, just in case people don't know. I just want to make that clear. People can Google that and they will be able to find out where it is. It's in Sydney from the 1st to the 3rd, and then it's in Melbourne from the 15th, 16th and 17th as well. And so please come along. I'll be at most of these events, as well you will too, Allah.
For sure. Thank you, Robert. Thank you for having me. And it's lovely to talk to you this morning. So it's called The Return because The Return is means something deep for all Palestinians. We're all longing for that return. And me as a Palestinian who was born and raised in Jordan, I can't wait to return to my homeland. But it also touches on a deeper level of the word return. From a spiritual perspective, it's the return to our source, to the humanity, to God, to whatever make us human, to whatever bring us all together. This is just the introduction of the title of the play. But the play started as a documentary, as you mentioned, when I saw a video of a Palestinian father from Gaza who was in the early, 2 months into the genocide in December 2023, he was next to his daughter, Nagam, who was a famous karate champion. But at the time, they were facing the strike, and he lost Roseanne, his other daughter. And Nagam was in a hospital with an amputated leg and in a coma and fractures in her head. And he was pleading to the world to help him get Nagam out of Gaza because he already lost Roseanne. He didn't want to lose Nagam as well. And he stayed like this. He put many videos for social media to help him. But after weeks of pleading, he managed to get Nagam to Egypt. But at the time, it was too late. And she only survived for a few days, and she died. So the story moved me so deeply. And I wanted to talk to him. So I looked him up on social media and I told him, I want to talk to you. I want to learn about your story. He was very supportive and welcoming. And I traveled to Egypt and I started making a documentary about him. My meeting with him wasn't just like normal meeting, it felt like bonding. It felt like I'm bonding with my father. And I dig deep with his psyche, with how he deals with this pain, with the grief, if he would ever heal from what happened to him. A man in his late 60s will start his life from zero again after creating, like, after making life, making family, being really good in business and his career, and then he had to start from zero, losing everything almost. So all these conversations stayed with me, and when I came back to Australia, I couldn't just work on the documentary, which I'm still working on, but I felt I need to write. It was also my healing, my attempt to heal. So I start writing his story, but I just couldn't understand, and that's why I kind of created a whole new reality in the return play. So it's not actually, it's not almost factual, like it's not completely factual. It starts with Marwan, the father who lost two daughters, but in the play, Marwan will be speaking to the clouds, and he believes that God issued a decree that all martyrs are returning, and they're returning through the clouds. And he sits in the streets of Gaza in the middle of the night and speaks to the clouds, asking them to bring his daughters back. And he tells people, wait for me, wait with me, they're coming back, but everyone thinks he lost his mind. This is the early scene that you would see in the play, but the play takes you in a very surreal journey where you kind of feel, what's real, what's not real. How did we let this happen for that long and still ongoing? It makes you reflect on a lot of questions that we kind of ignored or dismissed, or this life made us so busy that we don't think anymore and we continued our life business as usual. But this play tries to put you in this space to reflect and to think and to relate to one another. So
it definitely does that. I remember sitting there and thinking of all the Palestinian families that I had come across and met. Yeah. And all they wanted was the world to know their story. They didn't want anything else. And this is where art comes into it. And, you know, your play being so brilliant. You have people, they'll sit through this and there's no opportunity for them to ask questions until the very end. But it sits with you and it gets deep within you. And it will change you, and it will change your look of what's going on in Palestine. So,
absolutely.
Which I think is a fantastic thing. What we might do is have a quick break for a few seconds, and we'll be back right with Allah. We're back with Allah, the author of the return play that will be in Sydney playing from the 1st to the 3rd, and also in Melbourne from the 15th, 16th and 17th, all the way down to the 22nd, because it's actually going to some country towns as well, which is a really good thing for you to do, because a lot of people don't get that opportunity. And for the rural areas to see it, I think it's really cool. So I'm looking forward to those as well. One thing I did want to ask you, Ella, is the word martyr.
Yep.
Can we touch base on that and you just tell us, what does it mean to a Palestinian, a martyr?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for asking this, Robert. Look, I think the interesting part about this play is it's very authentic in terms of bringing the Palestinian culture and faith, belief. So this is something I find very strange to the Western audience, because I know there are a lot of them, they're really good allies, but they don't understand the depth of some of our culture and our faith. That's why in the play I touch on the martyrdom and what it means for Palestinians. Martyrs for us, we put them in a very, very high place. And it's for us, those people gave away their life, even if it is unwillingly, but God chose them. And we believe that God has a plan. God has, there is a wisdom behind everything, even though we can't see it right now, or maybe we won't see it within our lifetime. But there is a wisdom behind all of this.
There's no coincidences, is there? Everything's planned.
So. Of course, no coincidences. It's all planned, as you said. And you can see glimpses of the plan as if you reflect and try to sit in silence and try to understand. There are glimpses of the wisdom behind all this random chaotic killing. So martyrs are the ones who paid the heavy price, because what's more than your life to be paid? So we have a lot of respect for them. They are the witnesses who have seen these massacres, and they were killed for justice to be served one day. Maybe it's not within this lifetime, maybe it's not in the next generation or that following, but it will prevail. And that's why martyrs are the top of people. And I think people need to, especially from Western background, to kind of reflect and understand the sensitivity of this when we talk about martyrs. And it's not for us, like, we always have to respect them the way we talk about them and appreciate what they've done, because they're just part of a long journey for justice. So I implemented a lot of these concepts in the play: the spirituality, the Sufism, the seeking for meaning, even though it doesn't look clear, but there is a meaning. And that's why I want people to kind of reflect on this. Like, when they come, they open their heart to what we kind of feel towards what's happening. And it's thanks to Marwan, who opened his heart to me. And I saw him, how he's dealing with his grief. He was so vulnerable when he shared these moments with me. And even though sometimes he finds solace when he speaks to me, even though these days I'm busy and I don't have much time to speak.
You're definitely busy.
Yeah. But we used to speak a lot. Like, we still talk from time to time, even text messages. But I wish this can bring some kind of patience to his heart, some healing, some solace to his heart. Okay. Yeah.
I have one question to ask, one last question to ask you, and that is, if Palestine was an atheist area, do you think it would still exist, or do you think that the religion has really helped the people of Palestine survive, and knowing that this is a test? It's an interesting one, because I personally believe that if they were atheists, that Palestine would have gone a long time ago, and I stand by that. I believe
what's
that the religious, yeah. So, well, that's my answer.
Really,
so,
yeah.
for people listening, I hadn't planned on asking that question. So,
you know, when I lost my, this is personal. When I lost my father, I was thanking God that I am a believer at the time, because I think some of us go into different journey in belief. But when I lost my father and I had faith. Which I still have faith in and believe in God. But I was so thankful that I have this relationship with God, because otherwise I wouldn't handle this. And I know when someone is atheist, they wouldn't really understand, or they kind of dismiss you completely because they think they know better. But especially when it comes to Palestine, and, like, I think everyone saw the Palestinians. The first word that comes to their tongue when they lose everything, they would say, Alhamdulillah, thank God. And that was shocking to everyone, because everyone will be desperate, everyone will be devastated if that happened to them. But for them, the only way through the pain is thanking God and accepting and surrendering to His fate, because it's all planned, it's already written. And we have to face that with patience. Doesn't mean that we dismiss our pain or grief, but to ask help from God to help us through this pain, and to ask patience. And patience is such a deep, deep meaning that we kind of think it's passive or it's just wait. No, patience is a journey. And if Palestinians don't have this kind of faith, I think, as what you said, it would have been gone long time ago, but faith kept them in their land, kept them clinging to this land. And there's a God, there's a plan behind all of this. It's a sacred place. Yeah. All the prophets came from this area. And it has a reason. maybe we don't have the full picture now, but I'm sure there are glimpses that we see by the day.
I think a lot of people won't know this, but I was an atheist like a year ago, and I converted to Islam due to the Palestinian cause and the Palestinians that I'd spent so much time with in Palestine, and watching them over the years, it sort of drew me in, and so I can see both sides of the coin. So,
stay locked to 3CR.
Now, have you got any last words, Ala, and then I'll move on to Michael Sheikh.
Yeah, well, I really want everyone to come together, because I really miss the community being united, especially like at the beginning of the movement. We were like so moved, and we were be mobilizing and doing more stuff. And I think now it feels a little bit slower, which is sad. And this is what the Zionists want us to feel. They want us to feel helpless and stop doing much, especially now we have like 40 IDF terrorists coming to this country, and we give them access to our country, and we let them create this fake propaganda and try to call themselves peace delegates, which is
it shows where our real values are.
Exactly, which is really like heart-wrenching, and I really want people to get back to the movement, start getting together and mobilize, even though this is an artwork, but I think we need this space to reflect and heal so we can recharge and get back to the movement and mobilize more.
Absolutely. Well, Ala, thank you very, very much. I'm looking forward to seeing you next week in Sydney and also
thank
in
you,
Melbourne
Robert.
And meeting everybody that's going to come and see the play. Don't be one of these people that say, oh, I wish I'd seen it. Because, you know, there are some tickets left, but we know that the tickets sort of end up going sort of last minute, and you will miss out. It's not a huge show. It's an intimate show. So with a number of people. So thanks
again. Absolutely. This is what happens with me last year. Like, we had many sold out shows, but many people didn't get that chance because they left it to last minute.
Yeah.
So I hope this time doesn't,
So where do they get the tickets?
They get their tickets. So in Sydney, we part of the Sydney Fringe Festival. They can look up the return play through Sydney Fringe Festival. And with Melbourne, we have it on Humanitix from the 15th to the 22nd of September. It's the return play. And if they want to look
And it's at the Brunswick Mechanics Institute, right?
Yes, exactly.
It is for 3 days.
It starts with Brunswick Mechanics Institute, and then we have shows in Ballarat and Keysborough and in Castlemaine. So if they go to the Return Project website, they see all the tickets. If they go to our social media, the Return Project also has all the details. Robert Martin also, Free Palestine Melbourne also, they have all the details. And I want to thank Free Palestine Melbourne for helping us bringing this play to Melbourne. They have a wonderful team who've been helping me out every day almost. We've been working together through many months now to bring it to Melbourne. So I really want to give a shout out to them. Thank you so much, Free Palestine Melbourne.
Well, Michael's got a very big smile on his face, so I'm going to throw it over to Michael for a few minutes.
He doesn't realise that it's radio.
Yeah, you need to speak.
Right. Look, thank you very much, Ala, and it's a great honour to be doing this. We're really excited about this. We, like you, know that the genocide is continuing. Unfortunately, the international media has moved on, and hundreds of Palestinian journalists have been murdered, assassinated, because Israel wants to strangle the Palestinians in the dark. And
Absolutely.
This play is a great way to reconnect people with that reality, letting the people of Palestine tell their own stories in their own way and create meaning from this horrible, horrible tragedy is just a great way to reach Australians and to help them understand what you're going through and the meaning of your struggle in a global sense. And that's why we were so keen not only to do it at Brunswick, but to get it out to suburban Melbourne and regional Victoria. And we've had a lot of great cooperation from activists in Ballarat, Castlemaine, Dandenong, who are working right now really hard, handing out flyers at Dandenong Market and such like, so that people know about it.
You might see a lady with a walker actually walking very, very slowly, putting signs up at different places. Michael was telling me this morning, which I think is just beautiful.
Yep. She's lovely. A friend of my mother, and she's actually listening. Shout out to Mary Ong. I gave her some flyers and posters, and she went round. Yep. And she'll be there on opening night. Because she also wants to learn more about Palestine and the wonderful people, the Palestinians, and their struggle and how they maintain their humanity against a system that's designed to destroy their humanity. And anyone who's been there, I've been there, Rob's been there more than I have, is just astounded by that. How they, continue to care and love for their children, maintain a sense of humour, and look forward to the future when the future is just so horrible and uncertain. And I think a lot of that is art. We do a lot of talks about the daily horror of Palestine, but I think art is soft power. And for a long time, the Zionists have had a monopoly over that, because of Hollywood and their excess of the BBC. But now they're kind of creating their own art with their Western allies, telling their own history of an ancient people who, after 100 years of colonization, brutalization, genocide, are still punching. And that's why they're an inspiration to the entire world. So, yeah, it's a great honor to have you over in Melbourne and regional Victoria, and we're doing our best to support you and fill up the theatres.
Thank you, Michael. I truly appreciate it. And thank you for touching on the soft power as a form of resistance, because I think people should know, or I think they already know, the importance of storytelling and how it moves millions and how the Zionists played on that for many, many years. And that's why most of the Western countries, they believed Israel is just the only democracy in the Middle East because of all the media they played and all the movies and fictions they created to justify their existence over a Palestinian land and the occupation and the apartheid. But their plan didn't last for long. And I think we fight back also with art and storytelling, especially when they own the machine that controls the world and controls how we save our history and how we preserve our narrative. And that's why I think we really need to focus on the storytelling and preserving the narrative in a time where they change facts just before our own eyes. So, yeah.
Absolutely. It's the I think things are changing, and things like storytelling and art and song and comedy as well do change people's minds. And they actually don't realise that their mind is being changed at that point. It's sort of starting to zone in, and their humanity comes out, and you see the reality of what's actually going on the ground. It's a pretty beautiful thing. Now, I need to, this Yusuf, who has been doing this show for 13 years, I believe. It might be 15, he started it. He's got a show coming up called The Land. By Tarab. It's an ensemble at Darabin Garden Centre at the Concert and Cultural Exhibition, 6 p.m. Sunday the 6th of September. If you can Google that, find some tickets and go and see my friend Yusuf, that would be fantastic. So any last words?
We have him in Sydney.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Any last words, Ala?
I really want to see everyone at the return play, with the hope that our return is very near and it's happening. And, yeah, let's get back together. Let's start mobilizing. Let's revive the movement. We want to keep going. We don't want to feel helpless, or we don't want the despair to, make us silent or paralyze us. So let's get back together, and hopefully the return is near.
And it says on the flyer here, the old will die and the young will return.
It's closer than ever.
Which is absolutely beautiful. Thanks, Ala. You have a great weekend and look forward to seeing you in Sydney.
Thank you, Robert, and thank you, Michael. I really appreciate you having me today.
See you soon.
Before we go, Michael Shaker, who was a dear friend of mine, who got me into to the Palestine movement many, many years ago, created the idea of the flotilla, which has turned into a huge thing now since he worked with Rachel Corey. And, you know, Michael, people don't often tell you that you're doing an enormous amount of work. The job that you do is thankless. Let's get that straight. Not many people, you know, it's a hard gig. And do you see it getting any different? Do you think, is it getting easier? Are we getting closer?
I don't know. Look, it's very rewarding working on Free Palestine Melbourne. You get to meet extraordinary people who are just never been to Palestine, and they are inspired by this wonderful story about these people at the other end of the world fighting for not just their own emancipation, but the liberation of the entire planet. And that's what gets people out, you know, to hand out leaflets at marketplaces, at tram stops, and to organize and to do this. It's not just about turning up to rallies. It's about the hard yards you do in building an anti-apartheid movement throughout the whole of Melbourne and regional Victoria. And, you know, it's been really great seeing people who didn't have a lot of confidence when they first joined the movement and now are leading things like the organisation of this play.
Well, I'm on one of the WhatsApp groups, and there's hundreds and hundreds of people messages there per day of people actually doing work behind the scenes. So thanks for joining us. Thanks, listeners, especially those in occupied West Bank and Gaza.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast. If you found it valuable, please consider donating or subscribing to support independent community radio. To find out more, go to 3cr.org.au.